This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning and welcome into the show live today and the rest of the week from beautiful, if excruciatingly hot, Phoenix, Arizona. Was at game one of the NBA Finals last night. We'll spend a lot of time talking about the finals. We'll give you buy or sell, MLB power rankings, maybe a little Aaron Rodgers drama. Also coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you need certainty in the home buying process. With a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Phone number on the show, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Man, it was sensational. It really was. For me, for the first time in 2 years, to be back at a sporting event that had the kind of energy and the kind of crowd that you associate with a championship opportunity. Have been to a Dodgers game since the pandemic, have been to a handful of NBA games. But last night, in downtown Phoenix, in an arena that was just bursting with energy and anticipation, at least in a sports sense, it's the closest that I felt back to normal life in a year and a half. And if you were to pull out the details of that game, if I were to tell you that the Bucks shot 44% from the three-point line, that they out-rebounded the Suns, that not only did Giannis make a fairly surprise return, I think a lot of us expected him to play, based on the Chris Haynes report from the Eastern Conference Finals, that he would have participated. He would have been out there for a Game 7 had Atlanta been able to push the series that far. But it's certainly a surprise that he played at the level that he did. Almost a 20-20 game. You put all of that together, and it sure would have seemed like we'd be talking today about a Milwaukee Bucks series opening victory. Instead, they were utterly and totally dominated. Final score 118-105. And it's true, Milwaukee made a run. And credit them, a little bit of grit, a little bit of toughness at the end of that third quarter. But this was the story last night of the reality that the Phoenix Suns, and they're in the finals, so this isn't a shocking statement, are by far the best team in the NBA. They've also been the healthiest, they've gotten some help. But that's been true of every team that's gotten here, including Milwaukee. But when Chris Paul plays the way that he did, when DeAndre Ayton does the things that he did last night, when Devin Booker plays like a star, it's hard to see any scenario, where Milwaukee beats this Phoenix team. And I got family in Wisconsin. Some of you were listening yesterday to this show, and when I was filling in for Jim on the Jim Rome show, I think La Crosse, Wisconsin, a buddy of my uncle's sent my uncle a note, and I got a little grief for not taking Milwaukee. Uncle John, Wisconsin, Bucks fans, love y'all. Suns are too good if they play like that. Chris Paul has 73 points in his last two games. Game one of the NBA Finals last night, and the clinching game going back to the Western Conference Finals last week. That is tied for the most over a two-game span in his career. One of the great point guards we've seen, a guy that I do not like, but whose skill set is almost unrivaled at that position in my lifetime, is playing the best basketball of his life right now. That is hard to beat. And he's a big part of the reason, by the way, DeAndre Ayton has gotten to the level that he's gotten to. My colleague, my friend, Avery Johnson, talked last night on the broadcast with me and the guys at CBS Sports HQ about the way in which the Suns in the middle pick and roll dominated and had their way with the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's true. And it's easier said than done to shut that down when Chris Paul is the instrument and the catalyst for that offensive attack. But when you do that as successfully as Phoenix did last night, and just in general what Chris Paul brings to the table, has helped to turn DeAndre Ayton into a beast. And we've talked about this on the show. I've talked about it for months now. The reality, the truth, that Ayton had a confidence problem, had trouble living up to that number one overall draft selection that labels you with the expectations that you got to be great. Not good, not okay, not maybe someday. You got to be great. And the fact that Chris Paul has entered that mix, that offense, and that on that pick and roll he gets DeAndre Ayton really easy buckets, you've seen all year and certainly this postseason, at whatever point you've started paying attention to Phoenix, the confidence it has infused Ayton with, and the way that it has supercharged his potential. And that was true last night. A lot of easy buckets from Chris Paul, translated on the defensive side to real energy and confidence and a lot of defensive rebounds. And that meant that last night, on top of Chris Paul literally having the second night of the best personal offensive output in two consecutive NBA games in Chris Paul's 16-year history, on top of CP3 having maybe one of the best games of his career, given the context, DeAndre Ayton joined Bill Russell, Kareem, and Wilt. It's pretty good company, man. Russell, Kareem, and Wilt. Now DeAndre Ayton as the only players with 20 or more points, 15 or more rebounds, and 80 or better field goal shooting percentage in a finals game in the shot clock era. And Devin Booker is just the other guy, right? 27 points, 12 in the first quarter when they set the tone. It is really hard to see a scenario where Milwaukee beats this team. And I know, I got to be careful. I've covered enough NBA finals, we've seen enough sports to know that you can't label any series, any game, but certainly a 7-game series in the NBA, as over after game one. I've covered all of them, but the one that stands out is the Cavs getting down 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors team that had won 73 regular season games. And that certainly seemed poised to cement themselves and mint themselves as the greatest team in the history of the NBA, or at least in that reasonably in that conversation. And we know the story. Cavs win game 5, then they win game 6, then they complete the improbable turnaround. Anything can happen. And if you want to be positive on behalf of the Milwaukee Bucks, if you want to take a silver lining, there are some. They haven't won a lot of game ones over the course of this run, and really over the course of the Giannis era, and they're obviously in an NBA Finals. The fact Giannis was out there is really, not just out there, played pretty well. A little bit of rust, that's expected. The guy can't shoot a free throw still. That's problematic. But 20-17, coming off an injury that he thought was going to end his season and maybe his basketball for the next year. It's a pretty good night. It's a pretty good sign. And even with Giannis out there, basically as the guy that won two MVPs, with the Bucks shooting pretty well from the three-point line. I mean, they were 16-36. They out-rebounded the Suns. With all of that, they got dominated. They got destroyed. It's one game. A lot can happen. Who you are on paper, who you are in a game one, does not define champions. It doesn't. But the Suns are the better basketball team. And I've watched a lot of Suns game this year. We've been on this team here on the show. But, man, just to see him in person, Cam Johnson, really impressive role player. Cameron Payne, who had to step in for Chris Paul when CP3 was out for those first couple games of the conference finals. Really impressive and very limited minutes. I think he played 15 or 16 minutes. I mean, Jay Crowder went 0 of 8, scored a single point. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. It's a really good Suns team. And Monty Williams knows. He talked after the game about a lot of stuff. And one of the things you'll hear here is his focus on Chris Paul and what he can do when he's operating at the level that he did.
I thought he was making the right plays. They were switching a ton. And, you know, we have to offer that space and play faster if he gets off of the ball. But he was making shots. And when he's in that mode, we just feed off of that.
I mean, look, the Bucks are a great defensive team, and they have great defenders. Giannis is not going to guard Chris Paul, but he's an excellent defender. Excellent defender. Chris Middleton is an excellent defensive player. Jrue Holiday is a great defensive player. Somebody, and it's Jrue Holiday, has got to step up, and they've got to make Chris Paul feel their presence. Physically, psychologically, emotionally, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that you should emulate everything Patrick Beverley does. And certainly Beverley pushing CP3 at the end of that conference finals from behind. That's dirty, right? That is some insight into the guy who goes up on that line. But say this about Pat Bev. Chris Paul knew he was on the floor. He felt that dude. Was frustrated at times by that guy. At least occasionally was knocked out of rhythm. I don't know. Maybe Budenholzer has to run some zone. Maybe you just double team the hell out of Chris Paul for stretches and you make Devin Booker beat you, even though he's probably going to beat you. Maybe you lean on an Jrue Holiday. Hey, man, not saying be dirty, but get up in there, be more physical, take on the challenge. None of these are easy things to do. It is not easy to succeed with a zone defense in the NBA, especially with a team like the Suns who can shoot the lights out and are deep, have a lot of guys they can rely on. It's not easy to double-team anybody in the NBA when a guy like Devin Booker is not the guy you're double-teaming. Oh, and DeAndre Ayton's down there too, ready to wreak havoc. Oh, and there's all that depth I just talked about. And it's certainly easier said than done. It's easier for me to say, sitting in a studio in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, coming off that finals game, say, hey, maybe Jrue Holiday just play better defense. But somebody's got to stop Chris Paul if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. Somebody's got to make it really, really uncomfortable for that guy. You cannot let him dictate the tempo the way that he did. 32 points, astoundingly impressive. The 9 assists, really good. But it was the tempo. If I can geek out a little bit on soccer, those of you watching the Euros or that watch a little La Liga, it was like watching Pedri, who's half his age, boss the midfield against Italy, even though Spain lost. The way that Chris Paul dominated the tempo of that game, the way that not only were his 32 points critical to that success, but what Ayton did, and the way in which Chris Paul created easy offense for his guys in a high-leverage, high-pressure situation and made it feel less stressful, you have to put a stop to that. And we're going to listen here on clip 7 because DeAndre Ayton deserves all the praise and respect he can get. And that's the thing. There's not time to talk about Devin Booker in this postseason run the way that we should or DeAndre Ayton the way that we should. And Chris Paul, I guess we've made the time the way that we should. They have three. I don't know if DeAndre Ayton's a superstar. I don't know what he's going to do next year. But in this run, in this playoff situation, through one game of the NBA Finals and all the games that have gotten us here, DeAndre Ayton is playing at that same level. They have three stars at least in this postseason. And after the game, Monty Williams talked about all those things, or some of the things, DeAndre Ayton brings to the table.
He had 17 defensive boards, and that allows for us to get out and run. And I thought our guys were intentional about making plays for someone else, even if you didn't get the ball by running the floor. The floor was spaced, and so we were able to attack the paint.
I mean, this is a Suns team that is worthy of an NBA championship. It is. It is. And being in that arena, watching those guys do their thing, Milwaukee can win the series. I'm not writing anybody off. The best team doesn't always win. They don't. The Raptors were not the better team than the Warriors. Injuries certainly helped. The Cavs weren't the better team back in 2016 than the Warriors. They weren't. And I guess Draymond being out was an injury or at least an absence of a kind. But they just had more heart. And the Warriors gave it away. The gulf between the Bucks and the Suns is not as wide. But the Suns are the better team. Giannis is going to have to continue to be healthy and play at an incredibly high level. And somebody has got to make Chris Paul uncomfortable. Chris Paul, and we've talked a lot about this on the show. I don't really want to do it today. But he has both been really impressive in the postseason and has failed in the postseason for complicated reasons we've touched on. He's not really been a guy. He's missed some shots, but he's not been a guy that's choked or not been able to handle the moment, at least in terms of his individual ability on the floor. But the NBA Finals are different. You got to put pressure on this guy. You got to put pressure on all these guys if you're Milwaukee. Really, really impressive by the Phoenix Suns. Good stuff. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. I'm gonna geek out a little bit. We'll hit a few other things, but I just want to talk about what it felt like to be back in an arena at a sporting event with a bunch of fans. We're gonna have these seminal little moments, these little goalpost moments, this summer as a country, as we get back to feeling like life is somewhat normal. And being at the Suns Arena, being in downtown Phoenix, basking in the ridiculous joy brought on by that win, and there are a lot of empty beer cans in that arena afterwards while we were doing some TV work. It was pretty cool. Talk to you about what it felt like to be back in a major sporting event when we come back in a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you here, live from Phoenix. Suns up 1-0 in that NBA Finals series. There's an old joke of sports writers that the team that you want to win is the team that wins game one, so you can just go home earlier. And I've normally over the years felt that way. I mean, it's a very first world, spoiled, get to go to sporting events for a living kind of a thing, but that's always been the reality. Season gets over, you get to vacation earlier, you get done with work sooner. Most NBA media members work pretty nonstop in the NBA season and get a little downtime once the finals and really free agency are over, see your family, all that good stuff. Not this time. Maybe in 3 or 4 days I'll feel differently. I'm all about this thing going 6 or 7. I kind of prefer 6. I got to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for a wedding anyway a few days after this series ends. I didn't realize, I suppose I knew but hadn't felt it like I did yesterday, how much I missed being at a sporting event, at a game that really matters. Going to that Dodgers game a month ago that I went to with a buddy was fun. It was cool. And that was when it was still restricted number of people that were there. Went to some Lakers playoffs games. That was nice. It was fine. The energy was really low-key. Again, not full arenas when I went. But to walk into that arena in downtown Phoenix, full of people, seeing colleagues and friends for the first time on an NBA sense, on that level, because it's like a reunion in the NBA Finals in 2 years. There's Wilbon, there's Isaiah Thomas, there's Jeff Zilgit. It was really cool. It did. It felt like normal life. It felt to me as much like a return as when I got to take my kids to a physical school for the first time this year, the first time I got to go sit inside a restaurant and hang out, first time I got on an airplane post-pandemic. It was awesome. It was awesome. And those Phoenix fans, man, they're ready. And I know it'll be the same thing in Milwaukee. I got it. I hear you. I hear you, Wisconsin. Fear the deer. I get it. I've seen you. I'm looking forward to getting to Milwaukee to see the vibe. But, man, that is the other thing, is that you have these markets, you have these fan bases, and I'm not saying Patriots fans or Red Sox fans or Warriors fans now or Dodgers fans don't love it when their teams win. But to be in a place like Phoenix that has gone through this kind of a drought, that hasn't celebrated a championship, but they have won in the last 41 years. It was cool. felt right. It felt good. It was 109 degrees when I landed. I came straight from L.A., filled in for Jim Rome yesterday, flew straight to Phoenix, literally straight to the airport, onto the airplane, landed Phoenix, straight to the arena. 109. And I walked off that plane like you do, right? That little moment before you get into the terminal, your little jet bridge, you can feel the heat. And as you'd imagine, 109 is oppressive. And I just assumed that the streets of Phoenix would be fairly empty. It's the surface of the sun, people will be inside. And already at, 4 in the afternoon local time, the streets were full, man. And people were out there celebrating, having fun, feeling that joy. Really, really nice to be back to what feels a little bit like real life. And like getting back to it the way it was supposed to be. Can't even imagine what Milwaukee's going to be like. Now that Giannis is playing. Giannis looked good. A little rusty. And maybe I've just missed this because the viewing experience is different on television. But those Suns fans counting Giannis's free throw, counting down the seconds as Giannis takes a moment for free throws and getting to 12 or 13 was awesome. Credit to you guys. Valley of the Sun. It got his head. He's not a good free throw shooter already, but being there, man, it was awkward. A little awkward just as a guy, as a media member watching what he was doing. Man, that was an incredible, incredible game. All right, before we get to Mr. Bogus, get an update, and get to MLB Power Rankings, I just want to slip in a little bit of NFL talk, and I want to be a little self-loathing. I don't know why NFL on CBS tweeted this out today. I don't know. And I did not know this stat, but it speaks to two realities for me in my NFL fandom. One reality is I'm not a Chiefs fan per se. I can't claim that. I can't. But I lived in Kansas City for a long time. My kids were born there. I worked at the Kansas City Star, and I got to know Clark Hunt and some of the folks in the Chiefs organization. So I love the fan base, even if I can't claim any real affinity with the Kansas City Chiefs. And the late and great Therese Paylor, my good friend who passed away this year, was prescient and just on point when a few years ago he called Patrick Mahomes. He, not me, he 100% former Kansas City Star reporter and former Yahoo National NFL writer and columnist called Mahomes. And so he was so certain about it, we'd have him on the show, that I have no doubt in my mind, this was the first national radio show or sports program anywhere to talk about Mahomes accurately and what he was going to become. Because we did it when he was still a backup to Alex Smith, and Alex Smith was, 4 or 5-0 all those years ago. So I've got some affection for Patrick Mahomes, and I've got a little bit of affection for that organization. But I'm also a Bears fan. I hate the Bears. I hate myself for being a Bears fan. I hate Jay Cutler with a burning passion. And all that came together in this NFL on CBS fun fact. I'm just going to read it to you. Games with 4 passing touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes in his career has 11. So in Patrick Mahomes' very, very brief, although remarkable career in the National Football League, he has 11 games in which he has completed at least 4 passing touchdowns. In the last 50 years, the last 50 years, the Bears have 10. They have one less. I hate the Chicago Bears. I wish I were a Chiefs fan. That is remarkable. I would rather talk about that than talk about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady on some golf course. Does anybody actually care? Bogus, did you watch this, the match? I was busy. I was running around Phoenix, but I would have boycotted it intentionally had I been able to watch it.
So I put it on twice, I guess, to be a good professional to see what it was like. And I get why people like it. It's just not for me, in particular because I've got no patience for DeChambeau and in particular Tom Brady. So, like, the other people might be my two favorites on the planet, but those two guys being there negates any fun. So I probably watch, again, two sessions, maybe like 20 minutes total, and that was plenty enough.
Wait, Phil's one of your favorite people on the planet?
No, no, no. They could have been. Like, it could have been like my mom playing Michael Jordan.
Nobody's likable in that group. There's not a single likable guy in that group.
Well, Phil and Rogers become likable to me because of DeChambeau and Brady.
The only thing I wish I'd seen and gotten the context of, and I didn't, was Rogers telling Phil to shut up. Apparently that occurred. I didn't see it. Yeah, DeChambeau and Brady, no.
Yeah, Phil made one comment, one reference to the Packers kicking a field goal against the Bucs. So I'm assuming that would be where Rodgers would have said shut up.
Yeah, zero interest. But in case you missed it, just so you know, if you want to like have a ranking of Patrick Mahomes versus every Bears quarterback ever, Mahomes has 11 games in his career in which he's had 4 or more passing touchdowns. The Bears have 10 of them in the last 50 years combined. Yeah. God, I hate the Bears so much. I do. By the way, are you going to slip in? Can I admit something on national radio that maybe my bosses wouldn't love? I'm going to do it. I'm at the finals. I'm watching the finals. I'm focused on the finals. But Copa America had a pretty big semifinal between Colombia and Argentina with Messi. So I did watch that during the commercials and the pauses. Like, I'm basically kept pausing. I didn't finish it till about, 10:30 at night after the game was over. I'm hoping there's a little Copa America in the update. I'm just going to lobby patient for a little Copa America. Yeah, maybe the second hour. I don't want to ruin it for you, but one in penalties. I want penalty kicks.
Messi got me to do it. There you go.
I just did it, didn't I? For a team. All right. What else is going on?
It's all sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Chris Paul's third quarter, game one of the finals last night, 16 points on 6 of 7 shooting, including 3 for 3 from 3. His Suns building a 20-point lead on the Bucks, but that got down to 7 in the fourth, so CP3 went back to work.
Paul on the drive, goes inside, go to the rim, score it, count it, and he's fouled from behind by Giannis. Ho-ho, brother! Chris Paul, 31 points, and he'll go to the free throw line.
Kuwait Suns Radio, Paul finished with 32, 9 assists, Phoenix finishing with a 118-105 win to start the finals. Devin Booker at a 27, 22 and 19 boards from DeAndre Ayton to negate the 29 the Bucks got from Chris Middleton, and Giannis's surprise return, 20 points, 17 rebounds over 35 minutes, a week after over hyperextending his left knee. The Bucks have now lost 3 consecutive game ones, game 2 tomorrow night. Second chance for the Lightning to win their second Stanley Cup in a row, game 5 with the Canadiens in Tampa, 8 Eastern this evening. USA Track and Field is not adding Sha'Carri Richardson to its relay team for Tokyo, which could have partially made up for Richardson's DQ from the 100 meters because of her marijuana positive. I play this clip without comment.
The pitch to Kutch. Swing and a high fly ball right center field, pretty deep. Going back on it is Happ to the wall. He looks up and it is gone. A grand slam for Andrew McCutchen here in the first. Off of Jake Arrieta.
Scott Fransky on Phil's radio. Bryce Harper had 5 hits and 4 RBI in addition to the Andrew McCutchen Grand Slam in a 15-10 win over a team that has now lost 11 consecutive games. Will Myers, a homer, 5 RBI in the Padres' 7-4 home win over the Nats. The Cardinals, a 6-5 win in San Francisco. The Dodgers, a 2-1 loss in 10 in Miami. Shohei Ohtani allowed 2 runs over 7 and had an RBI double in the Angels' 5-3 win over the Red Sox. The Yankees hammered the Mariners 12-1 and the White Sox 4-1 winners in Minnesota. Patriots wideout N'Keal Harry has requested a trade after just 2 seasons. His agent says they've been trying to figure out how Harry can succeed in New England, but now it is time for a trade. Men's quarterfinals at Wimbledon today. Novak Djokovic leads Martin Fucsovics 6-3, 6-4, 3-1. Roger Federer's match follows that one on center court. And yes, Copa America last night, Argentina surviving Colombia in PKs to set up a final match with Brazil. Euro 2020, second semifinal today. England and Denmark at 3 Eastern. The winner gets Italy in London on Sunday. Bill, back to you.
You got it in there for me.
Of course I did.
Pretty exciting.
You asked. I'd have to do it.
All right. So we got any money? We got any whisper phone money out there on any of the soccer? Because I'll say this: it's not me; it's my brother. But in the betting syndicate, we have Suns, as I've talked about a lot, at 12-1 to win the whole thing. And I got yelled at by a gentleman on the Jim Rome show yesterday, saying I have to hedge right now. But I never hedge because I'm an idiot. But maybe I should just take my $2,400 because we had $200 on it. And we had Italy and Spain to make before the tournament started, to make the final of the Euros and to win. So obviously we're good. Italy,
you're good.
Way to go.
Yeah.
You got any skin in the game?
Whisperphone likes England today, at least. We haven't gotten a Sunday yet.
Feels like England's, I mean, they're the best team. Feels like they win today. Kane scores in like the fourth minute of the final, and they're up 1-0 in the 70th minute, and then Italy scores like four times. Doesn't that feel like a very England thing to happen?
Definitely, especially in London, to drag folks along as long as possible, and then a gut punch. It definitely sounds right.
And we have a pretty seminal moment on the show today. For the first time ever, you're going to read, buy, or sell, is the word on the street. You're going to do buy or sell.
And I am honored to follow in the footsteps of multiple Toms that have read buy or sell to you. It'd be my honor to do it today.
Are you okay with buy or sell, or do you want to rename it buy or bogus?
No. Buy or sell.
Buy or bogus.
It has a brand. I wouldn't change a brand. I'm not that dumb.
It's about to be enhanced. It's like that one show was pretty good with that random guy that used to be the SportsCenter anchor, and then Jon Stewart took over, and it was a Daily Show, right? That guy. What is that guy doing now? Oops.
Craig Kilborn? That's a good question. I have no idea.
Good pull.
Yeah. I mean, I liked him a lot, so that name's easy to remember.
I mean, that guy was a funny SportsCenter anchor. Then he had his own TV show, and then he fell off the face of the planet and moved to a hut in Siberia. Last part, not sure about. But straight guess.
I think he pulled the plug on the show, too. I think he was done doing it, and Stewart came in and went next level on it. But I don't think they got rid of him. I think he got rid of him to do something else that didn't work. Oh, no, he went to – he didn't he do, like, late night on CBS? And that was terrible.
Know.
And that died. I think that's what happened. He just failed. I think so.
It's like the guy that played Lex Luthor. I thought about him the other day because I thought I saw him at the LAX. I might have played Lex Luthor in Smallville. And then just left after like season four. Never saw that. Like, to be an actor, never saw that guy again. He's probably waiting tables in Beverly Hills. And we got to Smallville, just like Bogus requested. At Andrew Bogus on Twitter. All right, let's do MLB Power Rankings next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Although, to be fair, the Cardinals don't suffer very, very often. Having an off year. Overshadowed by the Cubs having lost 11 in a row. Yesterday, when I was filling in on Rome, talked to Jim Bowden, the former GM, longtime GM at a couple stops, and my colleague at CBS Sports HQ, and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. And I asked them both about this sticky controversy, specifically whether or not Gerrit Cole and Aroldis Chapman, two guys whose performances have dipped, whether it was too soon to attribute their struggles to the clampdown by Major League Baseball on the more severe, the more sticky substances that had become somewhat commonplace for pitchers to improve and increase their RPMs on their pitches, rotations per minute. And whether perhaps we could label, I mean, basically what I was asking is, can we label Gerrit Cole and Aroldis Chapman cheaters? Could we put them in the category of those who had taken this advantage too far? And they said it's too soon to know. Okay, I respect that. But Axios Sports had something really interesting today, some numbers. I'm just going to give it to you as we continue to evaluate. And I think, for me, really bird dog Gerrit Cole in particular. On June 3rd, the day of Cole's 12th start of the season, word got out, as Axios writes. People were in the know. All right, we're going to have to enforce. MLB is going to clamp down on these substances. And he's just been he has been two totally different guys, two starkly different pitchers before and after that date. his ERA and his WHIP through those first 11 starts when MLB wasn't going out there and checking guys for any kind of substance was a 1.78 earned run average and a 0.83 WHIP, which is really, really good. In his six starts since, so you're talking 11 starts before and six starts after. Pretty good sample size. His ERA went from 1.78 pre-sticky enforcement to 5.24 after that enforcement began. And his WHIP in those first 11 games, 0.83. The six that have followed, 1.22. He's striking out 20% fewer batters per nine innings. He's walking more than twice as many. And his WAR, his wins above replacement, has gone down. And he's allowed as many home runs in his last three starts as he did those first 11. Okay, maybe it's psychological. Maybe. Maybe it's not about the RPMs that he had an advantage, that gave him an advantage. He's just a creature of habit, and he's not used to the rosin and the suntan lotion. Maybe. But, man, in the sport that has a history in our lifetimes of massive cheating, and that cheating in terms of the statistical variation that happens when the ability to cheat goes away is on record. It is part of our institutional knowledge as fans of the game. Sure does not look good. All right, from some awfulness to some excellence, this week's MLB Power Rankings are brought to you by Credit Karma.
Some will rise. Others will fall.
Like 3 years.
Let the ranking begin on Writer Than You's MLB Power Rankings. Number 5.
All right, so I'm not a big La Russa guy, and we crushed him on the show a while ago when they got all mad about one of his players jacking a home run, you know, trying to be successful because of some stupid code in baseball. And I've met La Russa. He certainly has that air that the truly obnoxious give off when they believe they're the smartest person in the room and want you to know they believe that. But you got to give him credit. That's been a really impressive White Sox team. They're very balanced. They bring, and I do like this, an old school sensibility to some of the things they do. They'll steal some bases. You'll see some hit and runs. They'll hit the other way. They're more about attacking the shift than implementing it. Good offense. Good pitching staff. Pitching staff is fine. It's very solid. But that's just a ball club that knows how to win baseball games. And La Russa is a big part of the reason, and he deserves some credit. All right, let's move on to 4.
Number 4.
Man, how much fun have the Boston Red Sox been? It's hard to qualify them as a utter shocker in the normal sense of the word, because usually a team in Major League Baseball that you don't see coming is a team like the Royals, a team maybe like the Twins. I don't think enough people are paying attention to the Milwaukee Brewers, I guess including me, because they're not on this list. Boston's a major market. Like, no, I mean, if you bet the over on their win total this year, I don't remember what it was. 72? I mean, you are in great shape. So this is a great baseball team. And you know about the offense. Top offense in baseball. J.D. Martinez is a stud. You've got a squad that has sort of reclaimed what it's about. And again, on the list of people that are hard to root for, not a fan of the Astros because of what went down. Not a fan of Alex Cora because of what went down. But the dude is obviously a great skipper. He's doing a hell of a job. Pitching staff, a little bit better than it was when this, it's not even a run, just that this season of excellence began. 12th in earned run average in Major League Baseball. Red Sox are good, man. Do not sleep on them.
Number 3.
I got the Dodgers here, even though I think they are going to end up being the best team in baseball. But because the record that they have, they're spot basically atop the NL West, which is the hardest division in baseball. All of that has happened despite some injuries. Time without Cody Bellinger. There was some time without Mookie Betts. No Corey Seager. Dustin May got hurt early in the year. If you missed that redheaded maniac, incredible talent. Incredible talent. As good a pitcher before he went down as anybody on that staff other than maybe Walker Buehler, who's the ace. He's gone. The Trevor Bauer thing is obviously ugly. I don't anticipate we're going to see him anytime soon. And yet the Dodgers just keep finding ways to win baseball games. Kenley Jansen, a guy that, by the way, Andrew Friedman, the president of operations on the baseball side for the Dodgers, thought about, was rumored to have thought about not bringing back a couple years ago, is still a stud. It's the best bullpen in baseball. They have the second best run differential in the game. And they just seem to produce day in, day out, different ways to make players better than they should be. I mean, Albert Pujols is a very, very quick example. He's not great, but he is statistically twice as good as a Dodger than an Angel. There's just something about that organization that finds a way to win. And yeah, they go out, they get a reigning Cy Young Award winner, they get a reigning MVP a couple years ago. They're loaded. They're the new Yankees. They're just well run. A couple teams ahead of them. A couple teams been doing even more impressive things.
Number two.
I mean, the San Francisco Giants, man. Fifth most runs in baseball. Third best earned run average as a staff. With this motley, it's like Major League. I don't even know who these bleeping guys are, half of them. But Farhan Zaidi and my buddy Gabe Kapler. Zaidi, the former GM of the Dodgers under Friedman. And Gabe, who's a great guy, but did not have a successful run, to the least, as the manager of the Phillies, have found some kind of secret sauce. They are a great baseball team, and I'm done waiting for them to lose 11 games in a row like my Cubs and come back to earth. They're one of the best teams in baseball because they simply know how to win games, and they've done an amazing job melding analytics, which Farhan's into and Gabe's into, with a little more old-school baseball. That melding of old new is, I think, the future of the sport.
Number one.
All right, it's the Astros. I don't want to talk about these guys for very long. Congratulations, Houston. Best offense in baseball. Excellent pitching staff. And I think some of what happened to these guys, I know, you Astros fans don't want to hear about the cheating scandal. It's too bad. But here's the good fortune that you had. Not only did Major League Baseball barely slap you guys on the wrist. And Dusty Baker's been impressive. But also, the pandemic was a real boon for you guys. All the anger and yanks that would have been just rained down on you largely dissipated in a year in which there weren't fans. And by the time we got to this season, people have other things to worry about. People have moved on. Maybe not in some places. Not in L.A. I almost said here in L.A. I'm in Phoenix. Certainly when the Astros come to town, there's some noise. Even at Angels games, there's some noise. Dodgers fans that go. But they are by far, right now, the best team in baseball. And even if I don't like it, I got to give credit where credit is due. This week's Power Rankings were brought to you by Credit Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning Insta Karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. By the way, if you're looking for something to watch, since I'm traveling again, I've got all the Netflix shows downloaded on my phone. Sweet Tooth, which is, I don't even know how to describe it to you, dystopian end of times movie in which, as the world falls apart, children are born, is basically animal hybrids. It sounds terrible. It's excellent. If you're looking for something to watch, it's really good. First, you should watch Rick and Morty's new episodes. If you don't know what Rick and Morty is, you should just start at the beginning on Hulu. When you see it's a cartoon, don't do what I did and judge the person who recommended it and almost not watch it. Rick and Morty might be the best television show. It's certainly a top 10 show of all time. All right, let's circle back to the NBA Finals. I want to get into Giannis, what his return means, and what it could mean for the series next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you live today from Phoenix, Arizona. Got in yesterday, here for the entire week, hanging out for the NBA Finals, at least games 1 and 2. I'll be in New York City next week where CBS Sports HQ's television operations are based, our operations, to be doing some in-studio work. Great to have been at an NBA Finals game last night. Great to be in Phoenix. Great to be coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We'll do buy or sell in about 20 minutes. For the first time, the one and only Andrew Bogish will be the voice, the catalyst, the talent, the excellence behind the segment. Very excited. The end of the show, we'll talk a little Aaron Rodgers. He's just parceling out little crumbs of drama in this Packers saga. When is the first Packers game? September? Oh, interesting. We'll see what happens. I'll say this. That guy really enjoys twisting the knife. If he does not come, if he comes back, right? If he comes back, if he's a Packer, if he's in shape, if he plays every game, if he's Aaron Rodgers, which he will be if he's on the field for the Packers, it's all going to be forgiven. But if he leaves, because you know he knows. You know he's made up his mind. If he leaves, man, just leave. All this nice knife twisting, it's not going to be cool, and it's going to be a little bit less than funny. And maybe unforgivable for Packers fans if it is the lead-up to breaking their hearts and breaking that organization. All right, so NBA Finals underway. And 855-212-4CBS, if you want to call a sports writer on Twitter, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Talked an hour ago about how incredible the Suns were. And they were awesome. And I said, and I believe, it's going to be really difficult for Milwaukee to win that series. Even with Giannis playing well, and he did. It was great to see him on the floor. But it's going to be hard for Milwaukee to compete against what I think is a superior Suns team. If the Suns even approximate three more times what they did last night. Paul was awesome. In fact, Chris Paul's first Finals game, which he dropped 32 points, also means that he's on this run now. This game last night and the closeout game in the conference finals, he has tied for the most points he's ever had in his 16-year NBA career, regular or postseason, for points in two consecutive games. The dude's locked in. He's in the zone. He can feel it. He can taste it. And he bossed the entire game. And I know some of you have hit me up. How can you be saying nice things about Chris Paul? Doesn't change who he is. Doesn't change what I think of him. Doesn't change whether I think he's the biggest phony in sports or not. I think he is. It doesn't matter that all those things used to, and this is not speculation, this is reporting, used to add up to problems for his teams. His personality, the things that I'd experienced personally, impacted his pursuit of success. It's just not true on this team. His personality fits in perfectly. It was the missing ingredient. And so the guy deserves all the credit in the world for it. I don't have to like him to celebrate him. He's made DeAndre Ayton a markedly better player. Ayton last night joined Bill Russell, Kareem, and Wilt as the only players in a finals game in the shot clock era. 20 or more points, 15 or more rebounds, 80 or better field goal percentage. It's pretty good. Ayton's a beast too, man. He's such a beast. And Booker had 27 points. And so I think there's a takeaway, and it's my takeaway. It's my speculation. I don't know. That the Suns are going to win this series, and they may win it relatively quickly. Because if Giannis can be out there and do basically a 20-20 game, just 20-17, if he can be dynamic, and he was, had some big blocks, if he's physically the guy that earned him and brought him those two MVPs, and the Suns still just dominate, and the Bucks had a pretty good game. They just were outclassed by a better team. If all of that is true, they're in deep trouble. And that's it, and I believe it. But Giannis is a two-time MVP. And a lot like Joel Embiid, I mean, I already liked Embiid. I love Embiid's game. I love his personality. And I have total respect for Giannis. But the fact both those guys, MVP and MVP-level player and Embiid, had these injuries that I think most of us thought were going to require a lot of time to heal and might be wildly problematic in terms of a timeline, that both these guys didn't just play but gutted it out, and Embiid played a larger sample size, and Giannis has one game under his belt post that knee injury. But he looked great. That both of them could do it, it speaks to a grit and a toughness. And so maybe, now this wasn't true for Embiid, but maybe Giannis can get out there and find a way to pull his team to another level, to impose his will somewhat on the series. I mean, I've seen enough NBA games, I've covered enough NBA games to know, I do know, that series can change. That game changed last night for a moment. The Suns should be praised. I think the Suns are going to win the series. We've given them a lot of love. But there are runs in games and there are runs in series. There are momentum shifts that matter. It's not just how you bring about your excellence in these moments, like Chris Paul, like DeAndre Ayton, like Devin Booker. It's also how you weather whatever valleys happen in a series like this. At the end of the third quarter, there was a point in that game where it looked like the Suns might win by 30 points. And they won 118-105. They won comfortably. But they were up 20. And they were up, 17-18 several times. And then Milwaukee made this run at the end of the third quarter. I think they cut it to 10 in that range, maybe 9. And I had two sort of paradoxical or at least competing thoughts. The first was, the Suns are still going to win the game. They're two in the zone, and the Bucks aren't going to be able to push all the way through in Phoenix. But the other thought was, it shows some toughness that Milwaukee didn't just roll over, didn't just surrender. Maybe Giannis can come out and do it. There's been so much doubt. I can't think of a guy who's won two MVPs that in my lifetime, in my coverage time, in this century, covering the NBA, and being a fan of it, who has been more doubted and more disrespected. Maybe Steve Nash post-fact, because there's some revisionism about how, and maybe it's true, about how Kobe shouldn't have had the award and Shaq shouldn't have had the award and Nash should never have had two of them. But that wasn't the sensation. I wasn't a voter then, but that was not the sensation and the feeling in the moment. I mean, Giannis pretty quickly was dismissed. This year, it was basically decided by a lot of the voters, not by me. I have a vote. But by a lot of the voters, can't give it to Giannis. He's already won two. But the subtext of that is, can't give it to Giannis. He has sucked in the postseason, and he's let us down. He's not as good as we thought he was. And all that doubt's continued. The criticism, and it's warranted, I get it, about Giannis shooting threes. His inability to shoot free throws, I got it. But he is, and this has become part of the lexicon of the NBA, and I think it's good, it's accurate. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the modern-day Shaquille O'Neal. He is physically overwhelming, remarkably strong, has his weaknesses, because there's no perfect player. He's not as, I mean, no one was built like Shaq, but Giannis is a physical force, and he can handle the ball. And sometimes that, I think, misleads people, myself included, in what we expect of him. But the fact that he's out there, that he's playing, that he found a way to do it, that he feels healthy, it bodes really well. And we finally got to hear from the guy, because there's no scenario. There's zero chance. Not 0.1. There's zero chance Milwaukee wins a series if Giannis doesn't play and isn't healthy. And at least hearing Giannis here, it certainly sounds like, from a physical perspective, he's going to be able to compete throughout this series.
I feel good. I don't feel pain. I can run. I can jump. I can set screens. I can rebound the ball. I can do stuff. So I'm good. I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm out there. At the end of the day, I haven't watched the clip, but when the play happened, I thought I'm going to be out for a year, So I'm just happy that two games later, I'm back.
And the dude only took 11 shots, so we'll see physically where he's at. He scored 20 points in 11 shots. Actually made 7 of his 12 free throws, but it was painful to watch, man. And 7 of 12 isn't exactly setting the world on fire, although in that context, it sounds okay. There's a lot of things that need to happen for the Bucks to compete. They've got to find a way to play a better level of defense on Chris Paul in particular, and as a result, make it harder for the Suns to run their offense. And for those guys, I mean, there's just too many times where Ayton's getting easy buckets, where Devin Booker has time and space to operate, where Chris Paul's getting to the hole and either scoring or creating really easy looks for role players who aren't feeling the kind of pressure they need to. So that's a big key. The Bucks need Chris Middleton to put up points. And he did. He scored almost 30 last night. It was fine. It was 12-26, like almost fairly efficient. 5-12 from the three-point line. He had a good game. Drew Holiday missed a bunch of shots. It's going to happen, especially with the amount of effort and energy he's going to have to expend guarding Chris Paul. But he was pretty effective as well in terms of running the offense and handling the ball for the Bucks. And you're going to have some other players who hit shots. You're just going to have Pat Connaughton's going to have a big game, or Bobby Portis is going to have a big game, or P.J. Tucker is going to hit a big shot. Brook Lopez is a guy who obviously is someone they rely on and was fine last night. But it's about Giannis Antetokounmpo and his ability to be the best player on the floor. And that is the challenge for him. Can he be better than Chris Paul? And can he be better than Devin Booker? Four of the games in this series. Because that's another big part of the reason it's hard for me to see the Suns losing. They have two guys who are capable in CP3 and Devin Booker of being the best player on the floor in one of the potential seven games in the series. And really, DeAndre Ayton can be that guy too. He can. He has been in other games. Chris Middleton's not going to be the best player on a Bucks team that wins a game in the series. I like Middleton. I think he's a nice player. He's an all-star, barely, but he is. He's a nice player. I really like the addition of Drew Holiday. A lot. But this is about Giannis. I'm glad that Giannis feels healthy. I'm glad that he feels like he can do the things he needs to do physically. And now it's about, just like it was for Embiid, and Embiid came up short too. In a lot of ways, through no fault of his own. Embiid was amazing. I mean, Embiid should have had, if Embiid had a Middleton and a Drew Holiday, I think he probably would have advanced. I mean, Ben Simmons, not to revisit that, I'm poor Ben Simmons, was a disaster. A disaster. Giannis has the support. He has enough. He's just got to be overwhelmingly incredible. He's good enough to do it. Go out there if he can physically take it. You just heard that he thinks that he can. You got to shoot the ball 20 or 25 times. You have to do it down low. You have to play downhill and operate in the paint. You got to attack the rim and understand that you're going to go to the free throw line a lot and you're going to miss some of those shots. And you got to keep going to the well. And I'll say this lastly before we get to buy or sell. And I think it's easier for me at least to see it being at games. I'm so accustomed to that and it's been so long. And I talked about this an hour ago. Chris Paul's stats were amazing. He was incredible. He had some big shots. Big three from the left side. Had an amazing play at the top of the key where made a guy look silly and got to the rim for a big buck in the fourth quarter. There are individual moments of his offensive excellence that were, you know, classic Chris Paul and really, really impressive. But the thing that he did that doesn't show up on a box score as clearly was Chris Paul bossed the game. He really dictated the tempo and owned the flow of that entire game, which is easier to do at home. Giannis can do the same thing in a very different way. As a big man, as a modern-day Shaq, he can slow the game down. He can impose his will physically. He can make sure that Milwaukee, and you saw it a few times, doesn't panic. Pass the ball one time, dribble four times, and shoot a panic three when they're down nine. Everything has to operate through Giannis. It has to. And the fact that he's out there, which is a surprise, that he looked pretty good when he had the ball in his hand, that he says he's physically capable, that's the sliver for the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, you got to figure out your defense, and you do against the Suns. But offensively, I have to have Giannis touching that basketball every single time, just about down the floor, and shooting the rock 20 or 25 times, not 11. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. We're going to hit a bunch of topics from around the world of sports and give you a perspective on each and every one. Buy or sell up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, is the radio event of at least the next 10 minutes, but maybe the year, I don't know. But first I got to tell you this, Saturday on CBS, a huge afternoon and evening of sports begins at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, when legends and champions are on the court for the season opener of Big 3 basketball. That's followed at 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific, with PGA Tour golf action of the John Deere Classic. Then at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, it's another superstar Saturday night with some of the best drivers in the world going head-to-head at the Camping World SRX Series. That's all Saturday on CBS. Is the John Deere Classic in Iowa, Bogus? Do you know? I probably should know this. Or maybe it once was in Iowa. I'm from Iowa. We had a John Deere plant in my town. At some Iowa PGA event once, my brother, when he was in high school, went down to the Quad Cities. I bet it's in Illinois. I bet the John Deere's in Illinois. Went down to see Tiger Woods. Like, you know, this is a million years ago. And I'm watching it. Is it in Illinois?
It is. It is in Silvis, Illinois.
Don't know where that is. And I've lived in Illinois like three times. My brother goes down. So I don't even think of it, right? He's down there. We're in high school, whatever it is. And I'm watching the tournament on TV because it's in Iowa. Or it's maybe it might have been just across the way in Illinois. But Iowa area. And Tiger's about to, I think, tee off. And you hear some idiot scream, "You're the man, Tiger!" And Tiger, like, shoots him a crazy, dirty look. And the whole crowd shushes whoever this idiot is. And it struck me, that man, that sounds a lot like me. That actually sounds just like me. Oh, it's my brother, like, his claim to fame was on an open mic while Tiger's about to swing as like a 16-year-old kid, be like, "You the man, Tiger!" And Tiger had to like stop his swing and then give him a dirty look. I'm very proud of that. It's our little Ryder family connection to Tiger Woods. Bogus, you ready for this? You excited? I'm excited.
I'm nervous. I think I'm ready. We'll see.
You got dressed up for it, too. I like the outfit. Looking sharp.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you.
It is time.
Had some trail mix, so I got some protein in me. Woo! To give me, you know, have the energy to get through this. I'm all ready to go.
Can I give you a little sap story before we get into the segment? I'm not complaining, whatever. I'm a lucky guy, but I did sort of go straight from LA to Phoenix to the arena, and we had some technical problems. So long story short, there wasn't a lot of food eating yesterday. So I woke up this morning, you know, early, like 5, like, oh, I'll go to Starbucks. And the Starbucks line, there's one Starbucks open in downtown Phoenix. And it was an hour. Two pilots were like had ordered and were leaving because without their stuff. I'm like, how long have you been waiting? Like 45 minutes. And so I am currently operating without trail mix or coffee.
Oof.
You, though, you made it all good. As soon as I saw you an hour ago, I'm like, all right, now I can roll. First segment was a little rough. No coffee, no trail mix, no Bogus, you know?
But you're fine now, and I'm happy to help.
I'm ready to go, and we're going to get just a caffeine shot of radio excellence because Andrew Bogus, in mere moments, is going to bring you Buy or Sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Super excited.
All right, here we go. William Joseph Ryder. Last night was game one of the NBA Finals, and it's easy to say that Phoenix dominated the second half, winning handily 118-105. We saw major performances out of both teams, but the Bucks unable to put the brakes on those Suns. Before we get into the stats for players, sell or buy, do you believe the Bucks can turn this around knowing Giannis is playing hurt?
Look at you! Look at you doing your little sell. You did a sell first! Look at that! I love it! You went sell over buy. I like this already. I'm feeling this. I'm gonna sell that though. I'm gonna sell. I'm not one of these guys who are gonna say there's no chance, right? It's over because I've covered enough of these things. But it seems to me pretty clear that the Suns are gonna win. You know, if things happen as they're supposed to in the NBA Finals, probably what 5 out of 6 times, I think that the Suns should win this thing, and they would win 5 out of 6 scenarios. It pains me to say, but Chris Paul's too good. He just is. DeAndre Ayton's another level. Devin Booker's incredible. And just seeing these teams in person, Boganator. We're going to give you a new name, the Boganator, for buy or sell. Do you like that? I kind of like it. Let's buy it. Give me a buy on Boganator. Yeah, it's really good. The Suns are simply a better basketball team. And as long as their star keeps playing like a star, even one of them, I think they win this thing.
Moving on, Chris Paul, your good buddy, had a legendary first finals appearance last night. Leading scorer, 32 points. The all-star NBA point guard, obviously good, but his major legacy knocked so that he never's won a ring or made a finals. Plus, he might not be a good guy. Buy nor sell. Has your opinion of Chris Paul's legacy changed with last night's game?
Sell.
Sell.
I mean, I'll say this. I'm always honest, even if it gets me in trouble. I don't like Chris Paul. I know that he's a complete phony. And I've always said he's one of the great point guards of all time. He just wasn't in a place where people wanted to play with him and compete with him and sort of go to war with him. And that's been different in Phoenix the whole time, which is the reason I bet on these guys early. Let me ask you this. Buy or sell, I should ask Chris Paul a question at the NBA Finals press conference after they win. Because, you know, it's like, hey, it's Jeff Zelgib from US. I'd have to be like, it's Bill Ryder from CBS Sports. And here's the dirty little secret. None of these guys care anything you say about them unless you say mean things. And then they know every word.
I'm going to buy that with a caveat.
Buy!
You can't do it after he's won a title. You got to do it during the series. And you got to say, when it's your turn to introduce yourself, just go, you know who I am, CP3. And then go right into your question.
You know my name.
You know who I am.
Should I do it after a loss? And be like, hey, Chris, Bill Ryder, CBS Sport, you know who I am. How'd that loss feel today?
Yeah, maybe go off then. Maybe go, can you talk to him today? Is there availability today? Maybe do it today.
There is, but I'm usually doing TV hits, right? So, like, the weird thing about being the TV guy now, less the writer guy, is that I don't get to go to as much of that stuff. It's actually hard to get. I can't go to availability a lot of these games because I'm doing live TV. It's tricky.
Yeah, today would be a good day to mess with him. I think after a game, you're running into a tough spot. Guys need to ask actual questions about the game. But today, you could goof for a little bit.
Hey, CP3, Bill Ryder. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports HQ. Did we just become best friends?
That's what you should do. You should ask one of the questions from Step Brothers. What's the John Stamos question?
I don't know. I haven't seen Step Brothers, bro. I only know that line. I know it's terrible. It's terrible. Terrible.
So, I mean, that ends with it's a string of questions where they keep saying the same answer to both. So then the last one is, did we just become best friends? And one is like, name a guy we have a non-sexual crush on. They say John Stamos instantly. So that's that could be your question to CP3.
I'm on the road for 3 weeks. I'll watch it while I'm out here.
DeAndre Ayton also had an amazing game one last night. 22 points, 19 rebounds. That's his fourth straight double-double, number 12 this postseason. Ayton has grabbed 15 or more boards in six of them, tied for fourth most for a player in his first postseason per ESPN Stats and Info. Only Will Chamberlain, Bill Walton, and Bill Russell have more. Buy or sell, do you think DeAndre Ayton, when it's all said and done, will be a top five center all time?
All time.
That's what it says.
Essex getting crazy out there. Sell.
Sell.
That's a no. No, he's not. I mean, I don't even know who the top five centers are all time at the top of my head. I guess Will, Shaq, Russell. Who am I forgetting, Bogus? Who are the obvious ones that I probably should have? Akeem, Olajuwon. Yeah. I'm missing somebody.
Like George Mikan in there for the old timers. Like how do you handle those guys?
I think you are supposed to. It's so weird, the guys that I have absolutely no concept. No. The other thing is there aren't many centers left, so he could be. I mean, he's not going to be better than Joel Embiid, and Embiid, sort of where you want to classify him.
Right, and isn't Jokic technically a center? I mean, the thing would be great to be the top five center right now. That's,
I think,
the
Jokic is a center, you're right. The thing about Ayton that's really interesting, he's a true center who plays successfully in the modern game, which I find, because Jokic can shoot a three and Embiid can shoot a three, and I mean, Ayton's like, he's playing above the rim. I mean, they literally won a game in the last series because of him playing above the rim on that inbounds play.
Let's get away from the NBA Finals here for a second. Bruce Springsteen's daughter, Jessica, has booked her ticket to Tokyo this summer. She's an Olympic athlete. Her sport is horse show jumping. Congratulations and order of course for Jessica and the entire Springsteen family. Buy or sell, does the fact that Bruce's daughter is now a horse show jumping Olympian change the blue-collar aspect of the Springsteen family?
I'm going to buy it, actually. It's such a great question. Essig for the win! I'm not judging any, like, have your success, do your thing. But that was absolutely the first thing that I thought. Like, wait, what? Because I'm from a blue-collar family, from a blue-collar town. And Dubuque, Iowa, which I love and I'm from and I'm proud of, you know, that town was largely defined by its plant going out of business, right? So that music, like it did a lot of people, kind of spoke to me. I mean, it, right? Like, yeah, blue-collar, that's me, baby. And to be fair, I live in L.A. now. Like, right? But I'm still, I wear jeans all the time and people, like, judge me. I'm like, yeah, me and Bruce. No. Not me and Bruce, just me now. It's okay, but you gotta be pretty fancy pants. What did you, it's a horse showing? Showing show a horse? Jumping. Show jumping.
So I guess equestrian, to use a broad term. So I mean, you gotta be fancy to get involved in that.
I thought you had to have an English accent to do that.
I think you do as well. Not to begin with, but they teach it to you along the way. If you don't have it already.
Show jumping.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that, that definitely changes. It's a little bit than Blood Brothers. Yeah. So yeah.
A little bit.
What about you?
I want
to put you on the spot. Buy or sell? Yeah, that changes. Well, come on, lean into it.
I'll sell just because it's long gone. They're a blue collar family. Because the dude's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He's a Broadway star. He's not working with his hands still.
But I always had this picture.
He's not punching the clock somewhere.
I still thought on his, like, $10 million ranch somewhere, he had his blue jeans on and was drinking a PBR or a Bud, right? Like, not putting one finger up, drinking Dom and wondering, what's his daughter's name? What's her name?
Jessica.
Is Jessica back from the horse show jumping? I mean, no! No!
No, you know how this works. The cameras go away, the rosé comes out, the ascot gets put under the shirt, and away they go.
That damn rosé! It changed the boss! That was the start.
Olympic sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson will not be running in Tokyo this summer. After testing positive for marijuana, the American sprinter was banned from Olympic competition for 1 month. Originally, fans were unsure if she would still be able to race in the women's 4x100 relay. However, we now know that she will not. USA Track and Field will not put her in that race. Buy or sell, do you think athletes should still be banned from marijuana use?
Sell. You can push the sell button like 5 times if you want to.
Sell, 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 sell.
What a show. By the way, I personally don't get high. Like, it's just not my thing. I did it once in Amsterdam where it was legal, and I freaked out and turned over a table and then ate like 100 euros worth of fries. I'm like, that is not for me. I am too high. That's a true story. I never judged anybody when it wasn't legal. I mean, there's so much hypocrisy out there, just like sports gambling. Everybody does. So it's not my thing. So I can say this as someone who's not really invested in that particular pursuit of chilling out. Like, I'm gonna go I'll have a drink, right? It's my thing. Give me a break. It's legal most places. I mean, it is such a joke. Let me ask you this, Bogish: buy or sell? I'm being serious. That at least 30% of the power brokers who made this decision have gotten high in the last 3 months.
Oof. What was the percentage again?
30. 1 out of 3 of the Olympic, U.S. Olympic leadership folks. You know they are. It's probably higher than that.
That's a good question and a really good number. I don't think it's much higher than that, so I will very delicately buy on that.
Buy.
Delicate buy. Just based on the smell in my neighborhood, everyone but my household is getting stoned all the time. My 9 and my 12-year-old now are like, is somebody smoking the marijuana again? And we're like, yeah. Because it's everywhere now. Give me a break.
I'm impressed with what it smells like. How
dare you, sir? We didn't tell them. They're like, what is that? I'm like, oh, that's the drugs, kids. Never do the drugs.
The Copa America finals are set and will be a match to remember. The finalists are Brazil, led by Neymar, Argentina, led by Messi.
Come on, Messi.
Final game of the series, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Buy or sell, will this final be better than the Euro Cup final on Sunday?
Oh, buy.
Buy.
These guys hate each other. Yeah, and I mean, also, well...
England,
it depends on England.
It would be really tough to tie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's picking from two winners.
That's the problem. Is like I went a little aggressive. If England's not in, then it's a definite buy.
Buy.
Yeah. I'm more.
I'm more interested in the Copa because I'm a Messi fan, I'm a Barca fan, and I'd like to see him win something of note and value with Argentina. And because I already made some money on Italy. Right? So it's like, I'm there. I mean, if they win, I make more. And I'm sort of worried because I lived in London when I was a college kid for a while. So I'm not a fan of the team, but I like the country. Doesn't it feel like they're going to get their... We talked about this last hour. I think they're going to get their hearts broken. I think, very specifically, I think Harry Kane is going to score in like the fourth or fifth minute. And then England's going to, you know, dominate a lot of the game. Italy's going to, you know, play well, but not have a lot of shots on goal. In the 77th minute, there's going to be some just terrible, ridiculous turnover in the midfield. Italy's going to score quickly, and then they're going to score three more goals.
Or Denmark's going to win today, and England doesn't even sniff the final.
You think Denmark's going to win today? That's another story.
No,
that's pretty amazing. To be or not to be? We have to do a bunch of Hamlet jokes if Denmark gets in. We do that in the update?
Sure.
To score or not to score, that was the question.
Yeah.
Until in the 55th minute, blah, 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 blah.
That I can do for you. If Denmark wins today, I will do both write-ups as if I was Shakespeare tomorrow.
You always do it as if you're Shakespeare because that's how good you are. But I love that. We have more? I'm enjoying this. We got more?
We've got two more. Do we have time for it? You tell
Hell
me.
Yeah.
You're in
sure.
charge.
Yeah, sure, you just have to do an update. It's your world.
Buy on more. The Chicago Cubs. Maybe we shouldn't do this one. The Cubs have done it again, although this probably isn't a stat they are looking for. The Cubs have done the remarkable, dropping 11, not 10, not 12, 11 games in a row. This marks the club's longest losing streak since 2012. This, of course, happening in the same season with a no-hitter. And fans are saying there is a curse for throwing a no-hitter this year. Buy or sell, the 2021 no-hitter curse is real.
That's dumb. Sell. And by the way, curses are real.
Sell.
The GOAT was real. Why would you have a curse for throwing a no-hitter?
You have to. I did my sports bet on this yesterday. You throw one, you don't win. This is the third team to go on an extended losing streak right after throwing a no-hitter. The fake one with Bumgarner in Atlanta, 7 innings. Then win another road game for 6 weeks. Wow. The Orioles threw one in Seattle. Went on a 20-game road losing streak and only won two more times in the rest of May. The curse is real. Buy that, baby.
Couldn't it just be that you just said teams like Arizona? Is that your house? Come in.
It is, but I think the whisper phone is here today. Personal visit.
I thought that thing made a drop. I'm like, what is that drop? Did I miss a doorbell reference to no-hitters over the course of... Maybe it's just because the Orioles, the Diamondbacks, and the Cubs are terrible and they used all of their excellence in that one game.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, I like curses though. All right, let me ruminate on it. Let me think about it.
All right, last one. Yesterday, Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers beat Mickelson and Brady at the made-for-TV golf event, The Match. At the event, Rodgers was asked about returning to the Packers. He said, "I don't know. We'll see." Rodgers originally said he was holding out for more money or, say, in team operations. Buy or sell, Aaron Rodgers will be the Packers' starting quarterback week one.
I'm literally going to do a whole segment on this in about 10 minutes. So I probably should have an answer. I wish a doorbell would ring to distract me from my uncertainty.
Yeah. And here's Aaron Rodgers to tell us himself.
We can't time the doorbell better. I'm going to sell. I'm not really sure.
Sell.
Feels like 50-50. What about you, Bogus? Where are you at on buy or sell? He'll be the week one starter.
I'm going to go with buy. Even though people that are attached to the situation seem to think he has the you-know-whats to actually not play and hold out this year. But I think when push comes to shove, they're not going to trade him. He's going to show up. They'll do something that makes it seem like they'll get along. And then they'll redo this again next winter with probably him being traded.
What's the you-know-whats? I'm sort of in my head. Money? The time?
The cojones? The stones?
Cojones?
The
yeah. You can say the word. No, you can't actually, can you?
No, I can't. Yeah, thank you.
The footballs?
The footballs, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. We still have an update to do.
We do. I'll be brief on that, and we'll see if anyone shows up as well. Giannis went from doubtful to questionable to posting 20 points and 17 rebounds in 35 minutes last night, a surprise participant as the NBA Finals began in Phoenix. He's a week removed from hyperextending his left knee. Giannis admitted postgame he assumed he would miss months when he got hurt.
I haven't watched the clip, but when the play happened, I thought I'm going to be out for a year, you know, so I'm just happy that two games later,
so Giannis'
I'm back.
Knee wasn't the problem. Chris Paul was 32 points, 9 assists, leading the Suns to a 118-105 victory in Game 1. Half of those points came in the third quarter as Phoenix opened up a 20-point lead. The Suns also got 27 from Devin Booker, that double-double from DeAndre Ayton. They also had 25 free throws. Milwaukee took just 16. Game 2 in Phoenix tomorrow night. Game 5 tonight in Tampa Bay, Lightning and Canadiens, second chance for those Lightning to win their second cup in as many seasons. We had baseball last night. The Angels held off the Red Sox 5-3. The Yankees roughed up the Mariners 12-1. And the Astros beat the A's 9-6 for a five-game win streak. The Padres down the Nats 7-4. The Braves losing in Pittsburgh 2-1. Novak Djokovic is safely into the Wimbledon semifinals. Roger Federer and Hubert Horkoc about to play on center court. Denis Shapovalov just beat Karin Khachanov in five sets. And again, England and Denmark play soccer 3 Eastern. The winner faces Italy in Sunday's final of Euro 2020 in London. Bill, back to you.
I hope somebody has the tennis balls to take down Djokovic. He's a machine. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of that guy.
I mean, he's got the first two slams. He should win this one. He'll be the favorite of the Open, and he'll be the favorite for the gold medal in Tokyo. You could have, I think they call that a golden slam.
Golden
and it is very
slam.
Much in play.
I probably need to, as a tennis fan, start to embrace this guy, but I'm not a huge fan. He reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. He's not super likable.
He is not. And he never has been. He's always been the least of the three likable guys out of him and Federer and Nadal. And even Murray's more likable than him.
Yeah, he's just bad, though, and now.
That's true, too.
All right, I was going to try to draw this out for another doorbell, but I think it got answered. Enjoy doing
good,
the buy.
Yeah.
You want to do the buyer sale tomorrow?
Sure.
You're working?
As of right now, I will be here tomorrow, yeah.
Andrew Bogish will be here, and he'll always be on Twitter, at Andrew Bogish. Thank you, Bogish. We'll close out the show with a little Aaron Rodgers talk next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the program. Writer Than You is the name of the show. I am Bill Ryder. We are live from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for being with us. Phone number here, 855-212-4CBS. Drew's in Arizona. Drew, what's up, buddy? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on? How you doing, Ryder?
I'm good, man. It's hot here. It's hot in your home state.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't been on in a while. So usually we bond over our love of Frankie and our hatred of the Astros.
What's shaking, dude?
Nothing much, man. This has been an awesome show. You guys are talking about weeds, Suns, Diamondbacks breaking the wrong records, and Step Brothers, man. I'm digging this show today.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, no, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the whole Suns and Bucks series, of course. I just think that we're out coaching them, man. If you watch that game, they're running around. The Bucks are kind of running around. It seemed like Middleton was the best coach they had, trying to set screens and roll. And it seems like everyone kind of gets caught up in Giannis wanting them to just attack the basket and win the game for him.
Dude, I think that, Drew, thanks for the call, man. That's a great point. And it's one of the advantages, we haven't hit it on the show, that is a significant reason I think the series tilts in the Suns' favor. And that is that Monty Williams is a superior coach than Mike Budenholzer. For a long time, I was on that track that believed that Bud was a pretty good coach and would just make the adjustments and had that track record from Atlanta. But to all those doubters, I'm with you. You've won me over. Monty Williams, coach of the year, what he's done is spectacular, speaks for itself. But you're right. The way that Chris Paul was able to just continuously switch to whoever he wanted and operate that middle pick and roll again and again and again and again. Against, by the way, a Bucks team that has some defensive players. You have some defensive weapons. And the way in which Giannis has often been misused and that they don't run an offense that capitalizes on what he's about. I'm with you, man. Monty Williams is a great, great coach. Appreciate the call and glad you're digging the show. If you want to join Drew today or the rest of the week, 855-212-4CBS. All right, so the match happened yesterday. Didn't really care. I'm just not a fan of most of those guys. I'm not interested in most of those guys. But it did give an opportunity. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady were the two celebrity athlete golfers, along with Mickelson and DeChambeau. An opportunity to get a microphone in front of Aaron Rodgers and try to get some insight on this standoff with the Packers
And this is what the Green Bay Packers quarterback, disgruntled Green Bay Packers quarterback, had to say.
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
How about September 12th then? How will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
Okay.
I know you're a Milwaukee guy.
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not mad. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play hardball, if he wants to enact a little bit of vengeance for slights, real or imagined, I get it. He's Aaron Rodgers. That's his purview. Power is part of the deal in these high-profile jobs. That's the way that it goes. The difference, I think, or where it's hard to have a lot of patience for what we're hearing from Aaron Rodgers is when you start to mess with the fans. You want to go after Gruden-Kunz, fine. You want to leave the Packers? Okay. You want to leverage the hell out of these guys? So be it. Maybe it makes you deviant. Maybe it doesn't. That's part of the deal. It happens. It's the way that it goes. But he can get what he wants by simply calling the organization. He wouldn't even do it himself. He'd have his agent call. And just saying, fire the GM or I'm gone. Do this or I'm gone. It really feels mean-spirited or vindictive. This continued drop of information of, oh, I don't know in the game. I don't know if I'll be there. Oh, my mental health. Oh, I don't know, Kenny Mayne. There's people and people and people and people. It's so public. It's so continuous. It just feels really disrespectful to Packers fans. I'm not a Packers fan. But if I was, I'd be pretty pissed off at this point at Aaron Rodgers dragging me through the mud. Aaron Rodgers has the right to do whatever he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do. But, dude, make up your mind. Communicate what you got to communicate. But this gleeful through the media twist into the knife, and I know that the target's not Packers fans, but that's who's getting hit here. Packers fans deserve better. They do. Some of the best fans on the face of the planet. The organization may not deserve better. Right? There is a difference back in the day between Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson and Packers fans. There was. There is today, too, with the folks that are in charge now in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I mean, get over yourself, dude. I get it. You're a big deal, and you're the coolest guy in the room, and ha-ha, who knows what's going to happen. Be careful you don't squander that goodwill. That stuff matters. I know you got your money. I know you got your legacy. I know you're a Hall of Famer. I know you're one of the great quarterbacks of all time. But, I mean, how do you not look back to the start of your career and Brett Favre and not realize, man, history really does repeat itself. It's not worth it. Even if you're the greatest Green Bay Packer quarterback of all time, it's not worth squandering that affection and that connection. I'm over Aaron Rodgers. I'm not even a Packers fan. Can't even imagine how those folks are feeling. All right, quick show, fun show. Thank you to Matt Essig. Good work by him today. Thank you, Andrew Bogish. I like Bogish on Buy or Sell. Bogish is funny, man. I kind of like Bogish at the house, right? Phone rings, kids come in, doorbell rings. A little bit of real life. I dig it. I'm in Phoenix all week. Games 1 and 2 of the NBA Finals. Game 1, obviously, last night. Game 2 on Thursday. Appreciate you listening. My name is Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. We're back here doing it again tomorrow. And we hope you're back with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.